This is Bedside, a podcast series on a mission to debunk sex. I'm your host, Tatiana, and each week we uncover stories, ideas, and expert information to help guide you on your ever-evolving journey of deep love, relationships, and good sex. Oh, and a little bit of manifestation sprinkled in there too. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another Quickies. I've got my incredible co-host, Amanda Blair, here.
Hello. No, when I was, you were introducing me, I'm just going to go ahead and call her my sister-in-law, her daughter, Zach's niece. She apparently, there's like a kid in school that's mean. And my sister-in-law asked her daughter what she says back to the kid. And the daughter says, "Peace, baby."
You're like, I like intro you. You're like, "Peace, everybody. It's me, Amanda Blair." Yeah.
"Peace, baby."
"Peace, baby."
She's like three, so it's very cute.
I love kids. That's amazing. I'm so excited for this episode. I feel like we have so much to get into. I have so many stories. I feel like, okay, guys, the theme of this episode is cuffing season, which we'll get into.
We'll get to eventually.
We'll get there. But ever since Amanda and I were like, we're going to do an episode on this topic, I have had so many things unfold. I can't wait to share with you guys, like, just some great, great tips and advice.
Okay, well, before we dive in, let's just do a little like check-in and also a pop culture check-in. But first, tell me about your birthday party. It looked so grown up, so chic. You made fans with people's names on them. You looked incredible. I loved your outfit. I love that you asked guests to dress a certain way. Like, I was like, wow, you are such a grown up. Like, that was a grown up dinner party.
This was a grown up dinner party. Okay. So what's really funny is, so I actually, my birthday party was like a belated celebration, because I think you knew this. We were talking about it last time we got on a recording.
Yeah.
But Connor was away during my actual birthday party. During my actual birthday, I was actually not even in the country. I was in Mexico. And I was like, Connor was like, "If you do anything, I actually want you to wait. And I want to celebrate with you." Because normally the way we do birthdays is like a sexy weekend getaway. I've never been somebody, and I was actually talking about this on the solo that is going to be out by the time you guys are listening to it. I have never been someone who has been like, "I'm celebrating my birthday." And it's not because I never look down on people who are like that. Like, I actually love when people are like that. And I realized this year, as I've become like, been stepping more into my receiving mode and learning to be a little bit more seen and celebrated, and feeling comfortable with it, really. Like, this time around, I was like, yeah, I'm down to, like, celebrate me. I decided to throw this birthday party that Amanda's talking to. And if anybody follows Bedside on Instagram, I did a little recap there. I didn't save it to my highlights, but you would have seen it in real time. And yeah, I basically was like, I'm going to throw myself an adult birthday party, and I am going to do it the way I've always wanted to do it.
You succeeded.
Thank you. I'm so happy.
You had a chef?
I had a chef, you guys.
You guys, this is so grown up.
It was so grown up.
Like, if you want to know how to be a grown up, throw this kind of party.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, again, like, taking a step back too, I have been so in my gathering era. I'm in my hosting era. I love dinner parties. I love a good dinner party. And I do a decent job at hosting people every once in a while at our place. But I think I got so used to my place when I moved. It was 2020. So my place was very much, and it still is, my sanctuary. So I don't see it as a party place. But every time people come over, they're like, "You have such a party house." And I'm like, oh, yeah, I do.
It's true. She has an epic apartment, especially for LA.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Again, it was such a unicorn find.
Like, you can never leave. Like, it's perfect.
No, I can't leave. We talk frequently. Like, if we buy a house, we'll still have to figure out how to, like, still rent this place.
Totally. 100%. Like, keep it as like an office or something. It's so perfect.
I know. So I decided to throw this party. And it's funny because I knew I wanted to do a chef experience. I had a couple friends who have done that before. I actually have a friend from my sorority is like a very well-known TikTok chef now, Chef Bay. If anybody follows her, she was like one of my sorority sisters.
Oh my God. I didn't know you were in a sorority.
I was. I had a sorority era. But it was short, very short-lived. I was, it was too. Something. Did you really?
Yeah. Only my first semester of college. And then I was like, this is dumb. I don't want to pay for this. It's so expensive. Yeah. And I didn't like hanging out at frat guys' houses. So.
Oh, we would have been in the same boat, Amanda. Like, I think it was like, I just did it because everyone else was doing it. It was fun when you were getting to know everyone. And then you're like, wait, for me, I was like, I don't want to stay in this much longer. So.
Yeah, totally.
Anyways, so she is a private chef and I hit her up and she was like, I'm not going to be in town for your actual event, but let me link you to some other private chefs. And I was like, oh my God, please do.
Oh, fancy.
So fancy. And so then I was like, well, now I need an event space. And then I was like, wait, pause that. This alleged party house that I have that everybody says is great for hosting. Long story short, I cleared out the whole living room, put a really long table in the middle, decided to rent some furniture. I ordered a couple fun dresses. They didn't show up. So that outfit that you're complimenting, thank you, because I tried on this dress an hour before the party and I go, oh my God, this is not going to work. And then I went in my closet and I was like saving this one really pretty dress that I had found a year ago on The Real Real. And when I saw it, I was like, I have to have it. I don't even have an occasion, but I'm going to save it.
I mean, it's so epic.
It was epic.
It's like the 70s, like hostess of like parties in Malibu. Like it's, or like Palm Springs, like wealth, like it's, yes, like high luxury, like it's so beautiful. I was, yes, like, oh my God, like showstopper. Loved it.
Thank you. I came down and the chef had a little like helper team, and one of the guys in the helper team was like, excuse me. He was like, come down, give me a twirl. Like I was like, yes, gas me up. This is exactly what I need.
Yeah, you're like, it is my birthday. Thank you.
Yeah. So anyways, it was really fun. So much fun to gather people. And I feel like we really like broke in my apartment / home into, you know, having more celebrations. So hopefully we'll do more.
I love that. I think you should. I mean, I love that you painted the fans. Like, where'd you get that idea?
Pinterest.
They look so good. The fact that you could execute it to look as good as it did is a feat.
You
are very creative, because I could see something and be like, uh-huh. But like in practice, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, Zach could do something like that. He's really good.
Zach is super talented.
He is so talented. It is actually annoying. Every time he tries something, I'm like, do you have to be good at everything? Like, fucking stop. Be bad at something. Like, he is an artist. He did art all through school. And he wanted to, like, go to art school. Like, he got into RISD but didn't go. And he started painting again. And he was, like, doing his watercolor. And it's, like, fucking professional. And I was like, you're so annoying. Stop being so good.
You're like doodling like stick figures next to him.
What? Literally me. And he's like, no, you can learn. Having artistic talent is a skill you can learn. And I was like, no, it is fucking not. It's not. It's just something that I think you're born with. You can learn about your skill and you can deepen it for sure. But like, you have it or you don't, in my opinion. And I don't. And I'm so sad. And like, his whole family is creative. It's annoying. They're all like, his sister sews all her clothes. Both his sisters do. They can sing. I'm like,
you're like, okay.
I'm like, whatever.
I find myself somewhere in between. Like, I definitely grew up really creative and I'm definitely a crafty bitch, i.e. the like fan moment could be executed. But like, if you're to sit me down and be like, paint a really beautiful painting and like do it super well, like I struggle. I'm more of like I'm in between. I'm somewhere in between.
Yeah, totally. I hear that. Okay, so let's do a little pop culture check-in. Let's first check in with our girl Taylor. The kiss heard around the world.
Yes.
The guy on the Chiefs coming straight home to me. I die.
Guys, I texted. Did I text you, Amanda? I think I did.
Yeah, you did, of course. I was like, oh my God. I was like in the bath well, you know, like watching on TikTok to like see that happen. I was just like, oh my God.
It was amazing. And you know what? I think it was the like relief America needed.
Totally. Like the world is so dark right now. It's just like such a little shining light of like, you know, when you're falling in love and how exciting it is. And like, it's so cute. I love that she's not being ultra private. I love that we're like getting little sneak peeks of it.
Me too. And like, I loved seeing his reaction to the guy in the Chiefs coming home to me. It was so wholesome. And then her dad.
I know, being like, oh.
Yes. And I was thinking about it and I was like, you know what? I'm actually really excited about this particular relationship for many reasons. But one of them is like, I really like that Travis Kelce comes from his own realm of fame, right? Like, it's not like she's the one who, listen, she is like a different caliber of fame, of course. But I think in her previous relationships, yeah, it's truly on another level. But I think in her previous relationships, it's always kind of been so centered around her. And I love that she can kind of center herself around his world and the games and like going to celebrate him and see him in his own arenas, right? And like that, I think, is probably what a little bit of what she needed. You know, she needed something to also celebrate and not be the one just like celebrated.
Yeah. Well, and someone said this, two things. One, I saw a meme of the concert that he was at, standing next to her dad. It was like, and they were kind of like, you know, haha, joking with each other. And then it was like, when vigilante shit comes on, these two will pretend they don't know each other. Yeah. And I was like, that's so funny. That's like such a sexual like dance, yes, that she's doing. Travis probably has to be like, play it cool. We are cool. We don't see it. La, la, la. And then to that point, someone said, you know, she is used to being the entertainer, but now she gets to be entertained, like when she watches him.
Yes.
And I was like, that's so true. Like, she's so used to having people come and see her. But like, yeah, she now gets to go watch someone else and be entertained.
Yes.
Which I think is fun for her.
It equals the playing field a bit, right? Like, it's less of a power field. Power, not power, yeah, field. Power struggle.
They feel very, from the outside looking in, they feel very like they're on the same level.
Yeah.
In terms of like, he's at the pinnacle of his career. She's at the pinnacle of hers. Like, she's the biggest, you know, star in her world. And he's a very big star in his world. They're very like power players. And so they're aligned in that way. And again, he just does not seem threatened. And I think that has to be so hard for her to find a man who is not threatened by her being fucking Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And doesn't try to pull that down. Cause I know, like, me, who, you know, is a very powerful woman in her own right.
Little old me.
Little old me over here. When I've dated insecure men, I've watched them try to pull me down. And it's like, oh, you sweet, sad little boy. No, That is not happening. And I'm sure on, you know, when it's happening, you know, when you're in the public eye like that has to be to like an nth degree, because I'm sure the amount of insecure men that she has been around, like, oh boy, probably a lot. So I'm glad that she, it seemingly found someone who seems very secure within themselves. And so therefore can like really, you know, show up for her and like celebrate her and lift her up, which is like so lovely and nice. I don't think, is there anything else going on pop culturally?
I don't know.
You know what I want to come back? Love is Blind. I love when that show is on. And I'm really sad when it's gone. And this last season was so crappy. I'm like so excited for next season. Have you watched The Golden Bachelor, by the way? Speaking of dating shows.
No, but I saw those trailers and everything.
Everyone is talking about it.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone's like, oh my God, it's like so sweet and endearing, because it's not people trying to get famous. It's like people like genuinely looking for love.
Yes.
Which I was like, that's nice. And it's also nice to see like just an older love story portrayed on screen, which is not usually done. It's always like, I want to get married, and they're like 23, and you're like, really?
Yeah, they're like, literally everybody on those shows is like, came straight from like the Bible Belt, and they're like 20, and they're like, I want to get married now. Yeah. But no, I can understand having not watched it, but like, I'm definitely intrigued. I should totally watch it. I feel like it would be refreshing to see another generation on reality TV.
Right. And that everyone is age appropriate. Like, there's no woman under 60 there.
Wow.
That's fucking nice.
That's awesome.
Like, he's not an older guy saying, yeah, I want to date a 30-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And that is refreshing.
Yeah, 100%.
Not seeing that old trope, you know, paraded around again is like, oh, yeah, thank you.
The Leonardo DiCaprio trope?
I roll. God, that man. Grow up. I was younger. I was really cognizant of that. I was like, I will not be a woman in her 20s dating a guy in his 40s or like, you know, even like 30s when I was like really in my younger 20s. Because that dynamic just bothered me. I was like, I don't, when I get to those ages, I want to only be like calling in dudes who like are also trying to call in a woman that is like their equal in terms of like life experience and knowledge of myself. Not that, you know, people are younger are like less than, but you just don't have as much life experience and you don't know yourself as well. That is attractive to some people. And I just did not want to participate in that. And so it's like, I really appreciate seeing that a guy looking for a woman his age,
yes,
who's older. Because I hear that in older women, like, well, guys my age want someone younger. And so it's nice to see that not all of them do.
Yes, 100%. And also it being shown in like a wider media sense too, that's very refreshing because the media loves to like continue perpetuating their messaging around that. So it's nice to see it on the other side. Yeah, to echo what you said, it's interesting because when I was in my young 20s,
How old are you now? How old did you just turn?
29.
Your last year of your 20s.
My last year. But you guys, it's so funny. Like, I literally feel like I'm 33.
You're very immature for 29.
I have been in my 30s for a while, mentally.
I was a fucking... like just train wreck mess when I was 29. So I'm like very like, wow, you really got your shit together. I did not, which is cool. You don't have to.
In my own way. But yeah. Listen, not all categories. But when I was like 20, I was dating-ish a man who was 37. And that was, I remember being in that and being like, this is fun, but this is certainly not serious because there was such a power dynamic and it was so apparent generationally. Like it was just like that specifically, like those ages, that age difference. And so I agree with you. It's just like, I think in some cases it can work, sure, but others it's pretty apparent. And in that scenario, it was apparent. Like we didn't even relate on the same generational like jokes or lingo. It was like, I was like, okay, we got to wrap this up.
Have you seen Priscilla?
No. Wait, is this one of the new? This is a new movie.
Yeah, the Sofia Coppola.
Yes.
I don't want to give anything away because I think you should see it. It's very a Coppola, like Sofia Coppola film. It's like quiet. It's beautiful. Not like a ton of dialogue. But that in that era, it was cool for a 24-year-old to start dating a 14-year-old. Yeah. And to like have then a 17-year-old move in with a 27-year-old, it's just like, what? The power dynamic there is wild because he's an international pop star.
Yeah.
So, hello. And she is so young. And there is like very much this idea of like, you're a god, I will worship you. And the amount of control exerted over her life was wild. Like, and just
wow.
Elvis was not a good guy.
Yeah, I don't get that vibe that he was.
What was interesting to me is that there was such a lack of emotional intimacy. He did not care what was going on in her. She was merely there to reflect him. That's it. Like, she had no real access to him unless he wanted to share. And if she asked anything more, it was immediately like, know your fucking place. Like, just insane. It was very sad to watch that dynamic because you know that there's so many people that have been a part of that. It still are. I mean, I think that power dynamic can exist even without such a massive age gap. But it's, oh gosh. And there just was, she didn't have any support. There was no conversation around her saying that that needed to be different, which I think is the most heartbreaking thing. Mm. It was just like, yep, that's what you do. It's like, oh,
wow.
Gosh.
Yeah, that's so crazy. Wow, I'm really excited to see that. I love Sofia Coppola. One time I saw Sofia Coppola in a in a gallery.
That's a sighting. Wow.
It was one of those moments where I was like, I cannot fangirl. But I just was like, I am blessed to be in this room. Yes.
I will just accept the aura. Yes, thank you. Yeah. I also, another great movie that's on Netflix, Naiad. It's about a woman who's in her, I think she's in her 60s. She was a marathon swimmer. So she tried to swim from Florida to Cuba or Cuba to Florida when she was in her like 20s or something and didn't make it. And then in her 60s, tries it again. And it's with Annette Bening and Jodie Foster. And first of all, I love Annette Bening. I think she's incredible. Jodie Foster as well. But like Annette Bening in this role is just insane. It's such a good story. It's like really feel good. It's about their friendship. It's about like sticking to your goals, like even as you get older and like pushing yourself and challenging yourself. It's really beautiful. But what really sort of caught me was those are two women who are older. They're like maybe in their late 50s, early 60s, and they are letting their faces age as faces do. And it's so fucking nice to see that reflected on screen, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because I know many women in my own life that I see that are allowing that to happen, that they're allowing themselves to age. But there's still this idea of like, ugh, I shouldn't. Like, look at me. I'm so old. Whatever, like all this like self-deprecating narrative around it. And I think if we could have more representation of women just allowing themselves to be, just people allowing themselves to be and to age, and that was like accepted and cool and its own like beauty, it would just be so nice. But also it's a really good film.
I definitely want to see that. And to your comment on aging, I remember I saw this TikTok that this girl posted where she was like, I spent most of my summer and like early fall in Europe. And she was like, I just spent like a couple months there, basically. And she was like, when I came back to the States, she was like, it was the first time in my life, it was glaringly apparent that so many people in the States get so much work done. Like there's so many standards around aging. She was like, it was so beautiful to see people of all ages in their true like beauty and in their character, really, like just how your face evolves while she was away. And she was like, that was probably one of the most amazing things to have witnessed. And she was like, I didn't get that takeaway until I came back after such a long period of time. And it was so glaring in my face that everybody, you know, starts to kind of like look the same. People really start to like get that look. Celebrities like kind of have that look, that done look. And so it was just very interesting, that take. And I was like, oh, I like that, because I had a friend recently who actually just this week went to go to her first Botox appointment. Her injector turned her away. Her injector said, you don't need, which is so nice. And I was like, that's a good injector who says, babe, you do not need Botox. Like, she goes, maybe come see me in 2 years. Like, we can reassess. And I was like, I love that.
I love that so much. That's amazing. Also, I'd be like, I guess I'm just like perfect.
I guess I'm just flawless. I said to her, I was like, listen, I guess if you like, start, like,
you're doing delay, something well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a facial from Tracy Martin in New York, and I did their like red carpet facial where they like do like a bunch of shit. And it didn't include facial massage, which is really the only reason I'm going for a facial. So I was like, It wasn't satisfying. Anyway, it also didn't really, I saw nothing. It like didn't affect my skin. I didn't leave like feeling like a glow. And so I just mentioned that to the front desk, and Tracy Martin is amazing. Like, they were like, we will get you another facial. It's free. We want you to like feel your best. And they gave me another facial, which is amazing. But when I was talking to the second facialist, I was like, yeah, I like didn't really see any difference. And she was like, oh, it's because you still have a ton of collagen, and you would see that it's still, you know, doing things for you, but you would see like actual effects if you were older. And I was like, excuse me, I have so much collagen. Well, thank you. I was just like riding high,
prancing around.
Yesterday, I was buying a beer for Zach at the grocery store, and I was doing self-checkout. So I was like, hey, you know, person helping, I have a beer and it, you know, is requiring ID. And he was like, oh, you're good. And I was like, not even, no, okay. I could be 21, bro. Come on.
Like, oh.
But it was funny. Okay. So let's get into cuffing season.
Let's freaking do it.
Let's get into it. So cuffing season, funny story about cuffing season. I had heard this when I moved to New York. It wasn't in the lexicon before that for me. And I was like, what is it? I like really didn't know what it was for like a really long time. I was just like heard about it and I was like, okay. Mm. But if anyone else doesn't know what it is when we get into the cold, dark months of winter. So October to February. And people are more interested in getting in shorter term partnerships in order to ride out those cold, dark, and sometimes lonely nights.
Yep.
Cuffing season, which comes from handcuffs, which is a reference to like hooking up. I don't know how that gets translated to handcuffs, but there it is.
Well, I could see maybe a way or two.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It works. Okay. I get it. But just like hook up, I was like, okay. Mine didn't get dirty enough, apparently.
And you know what? You know what I also, and I don't know if this is just my own like additional definition to cuffing season, but I always associate it too. Like this is when people like get wifed up. Like it's engagement season right now, I feel like.
Mm, it is.
So many people I know are getting engaged right now, which is wild. So I feel like I always associate that too. I'm like, oh, colder winter months. People want things to look forward to. Throw a ring on it.
Yeah. So I was also looking at just sort of like why this is a thing. And so what I was reading is because we're in the, like, it's getting dark at 4:30 and it's really just, it is such an adjustment. Every year I'm like, I forget that this happens. And every year it's like, oh, it like takes me by surprise. But because of that, we have a drop in melatonin, we have a drop in serotonin. People are looking for things that are going to spike those for themselves. And there's also this social expectation around, you know, we have a bunch of holidays coming up and there's this expectation of you need to be coupled. And if you're not coupled, then you're going to be looked at and you're going to be judged. And oh gosh. And then also sort of like the emotional aspect, like, right, we're closing out the year. And when we're thinking about, you know, ending a year and starting a new one, I think that there can be this sense of like real sadness and loneliness of, but I'm not partnered yet, right? Our society, that society at large has really put a pinnacle is what's at the top of that is like romantic partnership, right? And so if we don't have that pinnacle, in quotes, it can feel very sad and it can feel very lonely of like, oh my God, another year I'm going to start out single. And that can, you know, make people want to get into these shorter term. I don't think they're necessarily thinking shorter term, but I think being more willing to just sort of like couple up to ride out this season.
Yes. Which I think is an interesting point too, of like, along with the pressure of like really navigating and asking yourself like, well, what do I want out of this? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think it's important to just like get clear on what you want and what you're looking for if you are in cuffing season and you are feeling like these pressures of coupling up, even if it might be from like the outside sources, because it's so true. Over the holidays, people are asking a million and one inappropriate questions of like your dating life and your romantic life. So whether or not it's other people or you're feeling your own pressure, but I think it's super important to just be like, well, what exactly is it that I want? Because there's nothing wrong with finding and coupling up and having a good cozy short-term relationship if that's what you're seeking, whatever it is you're seeking. But I think it definitely is kind of an interesting moment to self-reflect.
Totally. I think, you know, the first thing that I want to say about it is if you want to have a fling, if you want to have something short-term, if you're meeting someone and you're like, this person is terrible for me, but I want to do it anyway. Great. You know, have fun. Like if you want to do it, do it. There's nothing wrong about doing that. Like I myself have had some like flings that I look back at fondly and I'm like, well, that was great. That was fun. You know?
Yeah.
And I think there's like a time and a place for it. So no shade, no shame. Like if you want to, great. I think the issue can be is if you don't want that and you're sort of allowing yourself to still participate because of these outside pressures, right? That can feel like sort of the energetic underneath that is, I still don't feel enough. And I need this external validation, not just from a partner, but also from people knowing that I have a partner. Mm-hmm. And what, like, the social currency that will give me during this season. You know, I won't have to hear the questions of like, why are you still single? Also, FYI, if someone, you know, if uncle so-and-so, it's always like the creepy uncle that says something like that to you, you can say, what an interesting thing to say to me.
Yes, I've seen.
And walk away.
I've been seeing these amazing one-liners people have for the holidays that they're like, by the way. Yeah, I love that. What an interesting thing to say to me.
Or say, you know, that question feels inappropriate to ask, or that question feels rude, or I don't like that question and I don't want to talk about it. Let's change the subject. How are you? Hold boundaries. Boundaries are your friend. You're allowed to hold them. I don't care who it is. If it's your mother, you're allowed to hold boundaries. You don't owe anyone an explanation on your life or justification for like choices that you're making, or, you know, what's happening or what's not happening. Just like throwing that out there. But to get back to it, I think that pressure of, okay, I will have this external validation, right, of like this relationship, that can lead us to some just not great circumstances. That can lead us to sort of go out with someone that we don't actually like that much, right? Or that doesn't treat us in a way that we want to be treated. And to me, there is nothing lonelier than being in a relationship that like isn't right.
Yep.
That is the loneliest place. That's the loneliest I've ever been, is when I'm in a relationship and I feel alone because I'm with someone that is not a match, and I'm doing it for that, like, so I feel good enough, or so I have that social currency of I'm in a relationship, right? So like, no one needs to worry about me anymore. I've got it. And those are some of like the lowest points of my life, not the single times. Like, those have been the lowest, when I was like coupled with someone who was not a good couple for me.
Yeah, that's such a great point. And I think too, I think it's everybody's, one of our like big life assignments in general, I think, is, I'm sure you've seen these charts before where they look at kind of like the timeline of relationships with age, and how as you age, your relationships, you know, and your points of connection fall and dwindle. And kind of the point is, like, you are the most important relationship that you are ever going to have.
100%.
You are the longest, guaranteed, you are the longest relationship you're going to ever have is with you and yourself. And so, you know, I think if you are listening, and if you're someone who, and I've been here before, and I would say I'm not even like, I could probably get even better at it, is hanging out with myself more and like leaning into, if you find yourself being even uncomfortable with loneliness, kind of investigating that and getting to the root cause. Because like Amanda's saying, like, you can be in a dynamic, you can figure it out. If you want a relationship, you could find anyone, right? Like, you could just make it happen. Is it going to be a good one? Probably not. That's up for debate. So I think it's really important, if you find yourself in a position of being like, yeah, I don't know if I'm in a place of, you know, wanting to force a relationship to happen over cuffing season, but I am a little bit lonely, right? Like, how can you begin to get a little bit more comfortable with yourself? And what does that loneliness mean to you? And I think it's a great opportunity, because recently I've been reflecting a little bit on, I kind of do pleasure practices, which for me are basically just fun ways that I can fulfill my needs and desires. I like to do them on a seasonal basis. So I think of really fun seasonal, and I've been thinking about like, what are my winter pleasure practices that I'm excited to do, aka hobbies, aka socializing moments, aka ways to hang out with myself. And so I think this is kind of a fun time to just be like, okay, well, yeah, now that it is getting dark at 4:30, like, personally, I've had to rework my entire, it shocks me every year. I'm in total agreement.
Oh my God.
I'm like, I just had to redo all of my routines. Like,
I don't know about you, but I feel like the moment when it gets dark, I have to be inside.
Yeah.
So there is like a rush against the like nighttime. I'm like, I gotta like get this all done so that when it's 4:30, it's getting dark, I can be home. And so I don't know why. It's a weird thing, but I like feel like, well, I gotta get everything done.
Me too.
Can't be outside again anymore because like it's dark out, which is not true, but like it really is like this Pavlovian response.
It's very funny. Yeah. So anyways, I've been thinking like, okay, well, actually, how can I utilize the nighttime, like you were just saying? So personally, like even some pleasure practices I'm excited to get into for the winter are like, I really want to take a fun like pottery class. I want to like get a little creative, do some fun. I was thinking of doing like a cooking class. But again, these are all things that I'm like, I'm just like, these are fun moments of where I just want to hang out with myself.
Totally.
So just a little like tidbit in there if you're kind of experiencing loneliness.
Important too. And I love that you're saying that because I think, you know, we are two people in relationships, but that doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. You can't stop like dating yourself, even in a relationship, because that is how you maintain a really beautiful, loving relationship, because the relationship we have internally is going to be mirrored to us externally, right? In our romantic relationships, also our friendships, not just romantic, but a romantic is like a really big mirror. And so we want to make sure, even in partnership, that that is something we are maintaining, right? It's so important to maintain your sense of self and your sense of like, this is what I love. This is how I nourish myself. You know, that's so important to me. Like, I love going for hikes alone. I love like going, I love browsing a like bougie grocery store. I was joking to Zach as I was like, I'm so basic. Like I just love like all the basic things. I'm like, sign me up. Bougie grocery store. Yes.
I'm in.
So, you know, there's certain things I love, like going for walks and, you know, browsing stores, whatever. I just like love doing that alone, or going even to like a movie. Like I saw Priscilla alone. Like I love going to a coffee shop and like journaling. Like those are just things that I did when I was single and that I still make time for, because that is important to me. And it also is important to my relationship. That's how my relationship stays really solid and like, you know, beautiful. But I think in what's also important in terms of getting back to like, if you're someone who is feeling like, I don't want to get into anything short term, I'm like really looking, if I'm going to be with someone, it's going to be someone who is like a good fit for me. And loneliness is coming up. And this is what I always talk about with clients. We don't have to avoid feelings. Sit with it and feel it. It's okay. If you actually sit with your feelings, and the way that you do that is you close your eyes, you put your hand on your heart, you name the emotion that you're feeling. So in this case, lonely, and you name it where it is in the body. If you feel it, if you aren't connected to that yet, don't worry about it, let it go. And then you just sit and you sit with the sensation and the intensity of the feeling. So if thought or story is popping up, that is thinking, which is suppressing emotion. So we want to say, thank you, thoughts, not now. And we want to just tune back into the body, let somatic experience. It takes like 2 to 3 minutes. When we get on the other side, we have this like adult worth perspective that we won't have without really sitting and processing that feeling. And it helps us get out of like that childhood wounding, right? So when I was single, and even though really like the last probably like 3 years I was single, I was really like, I'm in the groove. I am like feeling the best I have ever felt. Like, this is amazing. Loneliness would still come up. And that didn't mean that all, like, I didn't feel secure or worthy or whatever. It just meant I was having a feeling. So I would sit, I would honor it, I would sit and I would feel it first and foremost before checking in of like, do I want to, you know, do I need to like hang out with a friend, or like, what else can I do to like nourish myself? I was always like, sit with the feeling first, feel it and process it. And sometimes it was just like, I'm just going to like sit with this feeling, and then I'm going to like lean in. I want to like lean into like that nostalgia. I want to like journal. I want to watch a sad romantic movie. I want to cry. I want to put on, you know, the Taylor Swift songs that like are breakup songs. 10 Minute All Too Well, best song ever.
Best song ever.
ever. Or it would also be like, I would feel a feeling and then I'd be like, okay, you know what? I want to like call a friend. I want to make plans with a friend. So I think, you know, to sort of like some steps on how to navigate this season, if that's coming up for you, first, feel your feelings. Like truly feel and process them. We're not thinking them. We are feeling them in the body, in the heart. And the second thing I would say is utilize the relationships you already have to help you meet that those relationship needs. So we know that we're responsible for our autonomy, our happiness, our fulfillment. So first and foremost, we want to make sure we're, you know, checking in with ourselves, and we're nurturing ourselves, and we're loving ourselves, and we're validating ourselves. And then also we want to go to our relationships and check in with those. So make, you know, weekly dates with girlfriends where you bring each other flowers or you go to holiday parties with each other or like whatever it is that you need that helps you feel that boost of serotonin, you know, those endorphins. I also am seeing now on TikTok sort of things going around of like, this is how I'm getting all of like my feel good neurotransmitters going. Like, what else can you do to boost that? Like, maybe go to a sauna, like do a cold plunge after. Are you, you know, still engaging in like movement practices that feel good for you? Like, what else can you do to help yourself generate the way that you want to be feeling? Because it is not just romantic love that is going to generate that for you. You are capable of doing that for yourself.
Yes.
Right. And I think it's important to recognize that and take ownership of that versus putting that ownership into someone else. No, we have to bring that back. That is ours. And there's so many ways, there's myriad of ways to do that. I think something that you do really well, you know, you do your monthly archetypes. And that's something that you can check in, you know, during winter if you want to do a monthly archetype. Tatiana has a podcast about how to do it. They're very cool. She also did a very cool workshop about it that I'm trying to get her to do elsewhere. Anyway, moving on. if you do that, you can add in like, what are my serotonin practices? What are my endorphin practices? How am I wanting to be feeling in, you know, that romantic partnership? I'm going to take ownership of that. So how can I create those feelings this month? You know, I'm going to schedule this thing with this person. I'm going to check out new museums, new concerts, you know, new readings, new whatever. So I'm getting that experience. I'm going and doing new things. I'm not sitting and waiting. I'm booking a vacation, like whatever it is. You can do that so that you are in that place of, you are an autonomous being in charge of your, you know, happiness and fulfillment. That is always yours. It's not when you get into a partnership, it's still yours. So practice now, right?
Yes.
And I know whenever I say that, people are like, okay, but like, how can I give myself romance? Or how can I give myself like, you know, sex? I'm like, well, have you heard of a vibrator? If you have a vagina, you should get one because that's great. But there's so many ways to be romantic. There's so many ways to be sensual with yourself. Sensual just means you're in touch with your senses, right? Like there's multiple ways to do that.
Yes.
Not just with another person. It's fun to do it with another person, but there's other ways to do it too. So those would be my tips on navigating this season to work out of the wound of I'm not enough unless I'm in a partnership. And get into the worth of I am worthy and I am loved and I am in control and I own my fulfillment and happiness.
Hands fucking down. Amen. Drop mic. Like that is it. And I so resonate with every single thing you said. And I know we are two individuals coming to you like who are in longer term partnered relationships. But I have to tell you, like being on that side, that is not the answer. Okay. It is one of your tools of feeling fulfilled, of maybe making you not feel as lonely. But I really truly believe that is one thing that, like, culturally, I feel like has just so much has been put on the romantic partnership and the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the whatever, the partner, the significant other. And you'll meet people, like we said many times already just now, like who are not feeling fulfilled and have those things. And like we're saying, building these practices, getting familiar with what lights you up, what is pumping those feel-good chemicals, those practices that are for you and for you only, is going to not only be an important part of your singlehood, but it's also going to be a very important part of you and your relationship dynamics. Like, it's not something that is like either or. And I think so many people look at it like one thing or the other, and it's just simply not that. And I just love that you are encouraging like this complete reframe. And I love that you mentioned the archetypes. I've been telling bedside listeners, but I'm working on making the archetypes a actual like physical thing that you can fill out in more of like a journal format. So
yes, give it to us, Tatiana. I want it already. Let's go.
So that's something that's coming in 2024 and like early, like January, February, hopefully. And yeah.
Oh, in time for the new year and mapping out your new year. I love it. I want it.
I know.
First customer.
Yeah, you are. You're the first one it's going to. And yeah, and so just getting, like everything you said, just getting really familiar with practicing that. And it's a muscle that is trained over time. And I think the bone that I have to pick with some of these like old manifestation methods, and this is not to shame anything, like I have been in different practices for different reasons. They've served me at different times. But the bone that I have to pick with a lot of things that I read is that you have to do quote unquote deep work. You have to like do therapy. You have to do hypnosis, whatever it is, to get to your deservingness of desires. And I think it's kind of a both and. I see the benefit of it, and I've been through it of doing that. And I really think it's, you know, different points of your life, doing deep work is so, so crucial, arguably. But I really think that we are innately deserving of our desires and our wants and needs and being able to fill them. And I think getting started, just being like, okay, well, what is it that I can give and gift to myself? And just getting started is training the muscle that continues it, right? And then I think once you get started, you can be like, okay, I'm seeing this. Okay, you know, maybe it is that I want to maybe eventually do some more deep work, but it's not necessary. It's not conditional on what you can receive. It's not conditional on what you can manifest and call in.
You are preaching to the choir, yes.
Yeah, that is just kind of my one reframe I want everybody to have, because we are so deserving of our wants and needs, and we're so capable. We're so capable, and we don't have to like be caught in these loops of like, I have to do more, I have to heal more. At one point, it's like, let's heal and live, right?
Yeah, totally, totally, totally. I completely agree. I think that sort of my hot take with manifestation after working with it for so long is the manifestation isn't the point, right? So people are like, well, it's not there, so like then I'm not healed. And it's like, you are the fucking point. You always will be the point. So also, you're never done, because this is a lifelong journey of like understanding yourself and living in that truth. But also, you're not fucking broken. So we're not fixing you, and we don't need to fix you. All you're doing, all the work is recognizing your actual truth. Like, that's really it. Your natural state.
Yes. Your curiosity.
Your wants and desires. And I think the way that we tap into that is understanding what our wants and desires are, right? And like leaning into those. And it's not just the desires and wants that are like dependent on other people, i.e. a relationship, but like, you know, I want to feel this way. Like, okay, that's for you to create. You can create that. Manifestation to me is, it shows you sort of your path to getting into that sense of like flow and magnetism. And the manifestations merely are there to like sort of point you in the direction of like, see, this is where you get to live. And they're not, they're just like, yeah, they're like cherries, but like, you are that like whole Sunday experience, and you getting to experience yourself as you actually are, which is a divine being, is the fucking point.
Yeah.
The more you get to tap into that, the more magic you will find. So 100%. Like when people are like, well, yeah, I have so much work to do. I'm like, no, it's not about that.
Yeah.
There's things for you to look at, but like, that doesn't, there will always be things to look at, right?
Always, forever, forever.
What are you learning about yourself? Everything is teaching you something. And, you know, so when you, in quote, like make a mistake, no, like what is it teaching you? What is it learning? What were you learning? What lesson did you just learn? You know, and that if you focus there, like for example, when I was working with TBM the first 2 years, I didn't put aside my taxes. I didn't know that I had to do that. That was not something that I was really tuned into. I also didn't know that I had to pay quarterly taxes. Who knew? And so I had a very large bill at the end of the year that I was like not prepared for. And I was like, holy shit, what? And Zach was like, yeah, how did you not know that you didn't have to pay quarterly? I was like, who knows that they have to pay quarterly taxes? He was like, people who look on the IRS website. And I was like, who looks on the IRS?
You're like, who's that?
Not me.
You're like, there's an IRS website?
Yeah, there's a website for that? Interesting. So I was like, that was a big lesson I learned, right? And instead of getting like sort of pulled down into, or like, what does this mean about my manifestation? I was just like, okay, that's a really good lesson to learn. I'm really glad that I learned that. Honestly, I had a great time not setting aside taxes. Consequences, but like I had a great time. Wouldn't change a thing. So, and now moving forward, I'm going to do things differently. Now I have a little thing that I have like a separate account that like I send my taxes to. So it's easy, you know, when it comes up quarterly to pay them. But that was, you know, that's an example of that taught me something really beautiful of like, I wasn't aware of that. That's a way that I wasn't showing up for myself. That's a way that I wasn't in self-love. That's a way that I was avoiding certain things about, you know, myself in terms of like understanding my finances in that way. And what a beautiful layer to pull back and be like, cool. That's something I get to focus on now. That's something that I integrate now. That's something that I get to learn even more about now. It's not a bad thing. It's not a like, oh, I have so much work to do. It's just like, oh, I learned something and like now I get to integrate it. And if we can be in that mindset more of like, this is what I'm learning versus I'm not getting, so I must not be, we just feel more aligned. It's more fun. It's less like heavy and dark and like, I have so much work to do because that's just not, there's work to do forever on ourselves. But again, the work is really simple. It's just being like, I am a being who is fucking worthy.
Yeah.
And my needs and desires are worthy and matter, and I get to get them met. That's it. That's all we're getting to. That's the only truth. And it's there at every moment. And so all you have to do is like understand that and step into it. It's quite easy. So the work is like, I am a being who is worthy. Right. Okay. My needs matter. Cool. What can I do with that in that moment? That's really all that it is. Right. And I think when we recognize that is when we'll start to feel that sense of like ease.
Yes.
And that's a fun part to be in.
It really is. Because like you're saying, like, I remember there was like a journey and even my own like therapy journey where I was just like, I'm going so deep, trying to find so many like answers. It's like, they're just chill out. Like, I remember at one point, like, I'm just like, I am not even going to like go this deep right now. Cause I don't, there's nothing that I need to keep like layering back. Like, it's like you were saying, like, just taking what I know, taking the experiences that I had, accepting them, processing emotions continuously. It's a lifetime of processing those emotions of just like rebounding. Okay, ooh, feeling. Yeah. Anyways, love.
I also think it's like trauma is real, right? So if you experience like, you know, trauma that isn't processed, like you do want to process that. Otherwise, you are living in that trauma loop, right? Which means that you're not living in your truth because we're living in this other thing. But also we don't have to over pathologize something.
That's it.
Right? Like sometimes, like I didn't need to go into that, you know, like not putting aside taxes. I really didn't spend a lot of time there. It was just like, oh, I wasn't doing that. Oh, okay. Cause I was like avoiding it. I've been kind of taught that. Cool. I understand that. Great. There was no pathologizing. I wasn't like, you know, and that's what doing the work has given me is I have a freedom with myself, really, because I accept myself and I love myself, which means I accept and love myself when I learn because I'm gonna, and I'm going to keep learning. I'm never going to get to a point that I'm not learning. And when I do, I will not be in this life anymore. I will be on to the next thing. I will be dead. So it's a good indication of life, right? And we don't need to like be worried and scared about that. And if we are, it's like wounding and other stuff. And we can talk about that in a session. But yeah.
I love it. Also, this is such a segue, but it's something I wanted to mention on this episode as we were talking about cuffing season. I know we just went like one way.
We like went way a little, whoa, way off. Yeah. We're back.
But we're back. We're here. We're always here. We're just... You're along for the ride with us. The other thing I wanted to say was, so I have had a couple friends who have said to me in person, they've been like, I fundamentally don't believe that I am going to meet my person on a dating app. And I'm like, awesome, word. And it was really interesting because the other week, a good friend of mine said this to me and I just said to her, I was like, you know what? I was like, I actually have heard you say this so many times that you don't think you're going to meet your person on a dating app, but you're still on the dating apps. And I was like, I think, and she was like, yeah, you're right. Like I spend a lot of time on them because I think in my dead time that I need to be quote unquote productive. And I was like, that's not really the like energetic even that you want on a dating app. Of like, I should be doing this, so I should be like productive. I was like, I think what you should do is maybe delete them for a while. Because if you really fundamentally believe that you're going to find your person out in the wild, maybe that's the case. So anyways, she took my advice. She's like, I've never been on more dates in my life, which is so cool. She's like, I keep having all these really fun run-ins going on dates. But what I wanted to say in lieu of this was it reminded me as the person who's in like a relationship that I'm not seeking other, I'm monogamous, I'm not seeking other things, other relationships. I was like, I am now reminded kind of my role here in at times like being a facilitator. So I'm coming full circle here because I had another scenario where I had another friend who's been single for a while. And it's funny because she kept being like, this is the guy I'm looking for, this type of person I'm looking for. I remember a couple months ago being like, I have someone in mind. And then she was like, show me the Instagram. And I was like, wait, oh shoot. Like we looked him up. I was like, he doesn't have an Instagram. We're like, ah, we wrote it off. Anyways, a couple weeks later, that person came up again and I set them up over text. So my point is, I am always here for a good, wholesome setup. And
love a setup. Love a setup.
Especially if you're like, I actually have some great people who I think could come together in an awesome way. And especially for the friends in my life or the people in my life who are like, I don't know if the dating app is for me. I think like it's something else. I was like, actually, I can see this coming through in a different way. And so I ended up setting up, I'll kind of keep this anonymous, but it's like one of my brother's best friends who's like basically my little brother 2.0, who I think so highly of. I love him in tiny little pieces. And I have such a standout other friend who I was like, these people could actually really connect in a fun way. And it, even if it doesn't mean anything long term, it's just like fun to have like facilitated that anyway. So I just wanted to throw that out there that, you know, you can lean on your community to also help you out.
100%. So I do have a different perspective on the dating apps. And here is my perspective. So I also was someone who used to say all the time, I'm not going to meet my partner on a dating app. Look who met her partner on a dating app. Here is my take on that from like an energetic perspective and just as a relationship coach. There are 5 dating portals: online dating, friends and family, connections, work connections, hobbies, out and about. When we say things like, I'm not going to meet my partner doing, we are trying to control.
Oh.
We are trying to control because we view one of those portals as higher worth than the other. Right? We're labeling these ones are good, this one is bad. So we're trying to control that experience. And the how of something coming in and the when something comes in is none of our fucking business. So we want to get out of that, those little windows, and we want to get in our, which is our why and our worth. Right? And in terms of online dating, if you know, you don't like online dating, you can do whatever you want to do. This is just my take. Treat it like a coffee shop. Meaning, when you walk into a coffee shop, you have zero expectation that you're going to meet the love of your life there, right? You're like, I'm going to get a coffee. And maybe there'll be someone there that I will talk to. Maybe not. Maybe I'll just go in and get a coffee and I'll leave. So if we could treat, it's like very neutral. If we could treat a dating app as neutrally, right? As like, I will go in, I will see if there's someone there. If there's not, I'm leaving. And I'm not making all of these stories about, there's no one, I will never meet anyone here. The only people that like me on the dating app are people that I don't like. And what does that mean? Like, right. There's so many stories, so many stories. It's like the most charged thing because we're putting all this expectation on it. This has the word dating in it. This needs to bring me my partner. This needs to bring me people that I like all the time. And if it doesn't, then I'm out, right? Or like the worst, this is wasting my time. And if we can treat it as neutral and we're doing it not from a place of desperation, which is sort of what your friend was doing. And I think the energetic that you gave her of like, which is I always tell clients too, I'm like, pause on the dating conversation. Back to the energetic of not being in desperation. We don't control the how and the when, right? So we don't need to force ourselves to do shit in order to try to create that partner coming in. For example, if you're like, well, I really want to stay home tonight, but I got invited to a party, so I should go because then I can meet people. No, don't go. Stay home. go out when you want to go out. And if you're like, well, I'm only like on my couch or like hanging out and doing things where I'm not going to meet a dude, you don't fucking know that, bro. That is not your realm. That is not within your control. Lean into your desires and your wants. Lean out of the things that you don't, right? So what you were telling your friend is don't do things because you think you should. You're trying to control. That's fear. That's wounding. Do what you want to do. You're in your worth now. Right. So that energetic, I think, is super helpful. And obviously, you know, creating in more dates. I also don't think we need to be going on a million dates to call in a relationship. That's not productive. The way that we work on calling a relationship is working on ourselves. Dating is not a numbers game. That's a hot take. So the dating component, the dating aspect component of that is like, don't force yourself to be, you know, on the app all the time. Look at it at a way that feels good for you. So if that's your check-in with it once a week, fine. Check in with once a week. You swipe a couple of people, and if you don't see anyone, leave. And then leave it there. Do not create stories around it. Let it be neutral. Again, everyone do what they want to do. But it's just one of the five portals, and we want all five of those portals open, right? We want energy in all of them to keep that like space open for the way that the person's going to come through. Because again, we cannot control it. So we don't know. And if the universe is like sending us a partner through a dating app, we're going to be like, oh, I wouldn't because it's on a dating app. No, we wouldn't fucking care, right? Because we'd be like, that's my partner. So get out of the control seat. Get into, this is a neutral territory. But by all means, don't have a dating app be your only fucking portal. There's four other portals. Lean into those and create lots of space in those. I think being set up by friends and family is so fun. It's fun to just like go out and meet someone that your friend thinks you'd be a good fit for. So like lean on the other portals too. Create energy and space there. But that's my like soapbox about online dating.
No, I love that. And because I recently heard another dating, not expert, just a, I actually don't know what her title is, but Logan Yuri, she's like written a couple books on relationships. And I listened to her recently talk about how she was like, ditch the how we met story. Just like, just stop with the how we met story. Because I mean, if I told you how me and Connor met, it's like kind of unremarkable. Like I slipped into his DMs. I was drunk at a bar. Like it's not that sexy. You know what I mean? But it's like the relationship that we built is. And yeah, so I love that.
Also, I love that I met my partner on a dating app. I love that. Yes. I love that I was in fucking Italy on a train and downloaded a dating app in Portland and was like, let me just see what's out there. And I love that I was the first person he fucking talked to on the, like, I love our story.
Yes.
I love that how we met is through that. Like, I love it.
Yes. And it's going to uniquely be like, it's going to be fitting. Like I'm not sharing certain details right now on the podcast. how I met story. Maybe I'll get there later, but it is very like unique to my relationship and we love it.
Yeah.
And so
I love that there was a slide into the DMs.
Oh yeah. There was a DM. There was a DM.
Hello.
But yeah. And I love you, your concept of those five portals. That's so smart. The last thing I'll say is, so this girl that I set up with my brother's best friend, they have like kicked it off pretty well and they have had some fun experiences together. Wink, wink. I said, I'm not trying to like blow up their spot right now, but what's been amazing is I was even talking to her, and what's cool, and I feel like this links back to like being open-minded of like the five portals Amanda mentioned and like just leaning into the possibility, the like creative possibility of it all, is that that experience showed her a couple things. And she told me that this situationship that she's had lingering around, like that closed the door completely to that because it made her see that someone else could be a certain way, even if this person that I've set her up with isn't her, you know, whatever next big relationship. Like this was the expander relationship you needed. This is what you needed to see, that people could be a certain way for you to find your next thing. So I think, again, the beauty of the portals of and the, like having the possibility of all them open is allow yourself to learn new things and train your brain basically out of maybe some of the small beliefs that you have Or,
yes,
you know, that small-minded mindset that some people can get locked into, especially if you've been in a toxic relationship, you can be like, oh, you could write off all things. So that's kind of my spiel.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think that's such a beautiful example of like learning.
Yeah, exactly.
Look what she learned and like, look how that is helping her and moving her forward. And like, she'll keep that. And I think if we can stay in this concept of like, what is this showing me? What am I learning? That keeps us really open-hearted. That isn't like that, like shut down, scared. I have to like keep everyone out. Like, we want to stay in that open-hearted view. We want to have that chain link fence in front of us so that we can see through it and we can like open the gates and we can shut the gates and we can kick someone out and we can, you know, bring someone in. Not that like brick wall kind of thing of like, well, mm-hmm. I'm so scared I'm going to get hurt. It's like, yeah, you're going to feel. And you know what? You can process a feeling. You don't need to avoid feelings to like bring it back to like what we're talking about with like cuffing season and loneliness.
Yes.
Work. Don't avoid a feeling. You can feel that. You are an adult. You can feel. Your inner child will try to avoid that. That's inner child wounding. We don't need to let that run the show. We can go into feeling and processing that feeling and getting back into that adult worth.
I love it. I love our quickies.
I love it. Not very quick.
Not very quick.
Potent. Potent, though. Also, I got a mic and I'm like really digging it. Everybody.
Amanda's mic'd up. Today I texted her and I was like, you got your headset and mic? She's like, you bet I do.
Zach set me up, made sure that like my input output was correct. He was like, you need headphones. And I was like, why? And he was like, because, and he gave me an explanation that I still don't really understand. But when you used headphones, I was like, he was right. I was like, I don't need them. He was like, you do. And I was like, okay, I will trust you.
Oh my God. I love it. I love it. Well, you guys, we didn't have time to get to listener questions, but I think that'll be something maybe we'll do on our next quickies. You know, we add them in when we have time, but today we were like, we've got a jam-packed episode. So,
you know what we should do next episode?
Tell me.
End of the year, like wrap up.
Absolutely.
And like looking through like the year of what we liked, what we didn't like, our favorite things, top moments, low moments. That kind of thing.
I love a good end of year recap. Let's do it. That's our next quickies. Stay tuned. All right, guys. Thank you. We love you. And
we love you.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Betside Podcast. I hope you loved this episode as much as we did making it. If you have any feedback, questions, or suggestions for future episodes, or if you just want to chat, don't hesitate to reach out to us at The Bedside on Instagram and thebedside.co online. You can also find us at By The Bedside on TikTok. To stay updated on our latest episodes, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your preferred platform. And if you found this episode valuable, I would so greatly appreciate if you could leave us a rating, a review, text it to a friend, share it to your Instagram stories. Let's get this message out there loud and clear. Until next time, thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you next week.